5. We'll stop before 6. Now on the same occasion there were some present who reported to him about the Galileans, or is that Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices. And Jesus said to them, "Do you suppose that these Galileans were greater sinners than all other Galileans because they suffered this fate?" Jesus was from Galilee. "I tell you, no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Or do you suppose that those 18 on whom the Tower of Siloam fell and killed them were worse culprits than all the men who live in Jerusalem? I tell you, no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." You are subject to the capriciousness of the world. You are subject to what some would call an act of God, if they're reading their insurance policy, unless you repent. Because unless you repent, go to Mark 1. Verse 9, "In those days Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. Immediately coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens opening and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. And a voice came out of the heavens, 'You are my beloved Son. In you I am well pleased.' Immediately the Spirit impelled him to go out into the wilderness. And he was in the wilderness 40 days, being tempted by Satan, and he was with the wild beasts, and the angels were ministering to him. Now, after John had been taken into custody, Jesus came into Galilee, where the Galileans were." It's a funny thing, eh? "Preaching the gospel of God and saying, 'The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel.' Luke 13. So you see what you're supposed to do when you repent. You're to recognize the kingdom of God is at hand, and you're to believe in the gospel. "Now on the same occasion, there were some present who reported to him about the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus said to them, 'Do you suppose that these Galileans were greater sinners than all other Galileans because they suffered this fate? I tell you, no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Or do you suppose that those 18 on whom the Tower of Siloam fell and killed them were worse culprits than all the men who live in Jerusalem? I tell you, no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish.'" A couple of kingdom passages. Repentance gets you born again. But the object of born again is the kingdom of God, not salvation. Salvation is a step to the kingdom of God. Now, salvation's great, but I remember when I was growing up, they preached salvation as the end of the gospel, the primary end of the gospel, to get the world saved. And then you could relax. And in fact, you could get the world saved, but you couldn't necessarily get them healed. So you could only get them saved in their spirit, but not their body. And you could get them saved and not healed and not out of the clutches of the devil. You couldn't get them into peace. I know many people in that same place today where salvation does not give them peace. What gives them peace is their circumstances if they're going the right way. What takes their peace away is their circumstances if they're going the wrong way. Or as a friend of mine used to say, who's a good evangelist, people come to me and say, how are you doing? I say, I'm just great. How are you? And they say, not bad under the circumstances. And I say, what are you doing under there? But the objective was to move from just getting born again and saved in the body and the spirit and the soul as well, to where you would actually have the fullness, the baptism, the Spirit filling you, so that you had the Spirit within and the Spirit upon. And you became one of them manifestation concerning spiritual manifestations, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. And they were to be positioned there. But all of that was still not the end of the gospel. The end of the gospel that you were to believe in was found in Mark 1, 14, 15. The kingdom of God has come. Repent and believe the gospel. The gospel is about the kingdom. I haven't heard too many people preaching against the kingdom. I've heard people preach against healing today. Can't say that God heals or that he necessarily wants to. It's a capricious kind of thing. He decides what yes or no. Jesus is answering that capricious sort of thing issue in Luke 13. It's circumstance that killed these people. They weren't any worse or better than anybody else. But to avoid it, you need to repent. And therefore, repenting gets you out of perishing. And not repenting leaves you perishing at a later time. You all likewise perish. But I've heard people preach saying you cannot know if God's will is to heal today or who he'd want to heal today. The funny thing is, people who hang around that, I've even heard them go to say, you don't know who God wants to save. Because the scripture says you don't know who will be saved. Which has got nothing to do with the other thought. But people get confused. And they don't realize God wants none to perish, but all should come to the knowledge of salvation. But for some reason, they think if they know a nice person who ignored or rejected the Lord, that God just didn't choose to save him. Because once you're on that slope of some of the gospel doesn't apply today, some of the promises aren't yes and amen today, or some of the word has lost its authority or place, heaven and earth will pass away, and so have already some of the words passed away. They're not applicable anymore. Then you're in trouble. And if you go back and read Isaiah 53 to people, or Matthew 8:17, or 1 Peter 2:24, you get in trouble because they don't think that that necessarily applies, but that only applied while the apostles were alive. Let me tell you something. The apostles are still alive. Not only the originals, except for one, but all the other apostles. The ones that Paul identified in writing to the Ephesians, that the office of the apostle was given to the church to build it up. He wasn't talking about any of the other guys in the other 11. He was talking about the Gentile church, and the other 11 were in the Jewish church. And those offices continue and strengthen. But you can preach against it if you want, not too smart. But I haven't heard a lot of preaching against the kingdom. Largely because no one's even brought it up. So they didn't have to argue about it. And the reason people preach against those things is because they've earnestly sought God. They've gone to Bible school. I know people in this room have gone to Bible school. I went to Bible school, but only by correspondence, so I'm still okay. But they've gone to Bible school either where they learned things like the baptism of the Spirit aren't there and healing isn't always there, but sometimes you pray and then you see what God does. And whatever happens is what God does, right? Did you know whatever happens, what God does? And that's why if the children are starving in Biafra, it's what God does. I heard one minister say kingdom is the whole planet. That the kingdom of this world was already God's kingdom. Interesting concept, because that meant God was working against himself pretty strong in a lot of places. But they would argue with the scripture and with God, and Jesus said that the Sadducees did err because they didn't know the scripture, but the other thing they didn't know was the power. And so these people were well-meaning and loved God. They had a form of religion, but they were busy denying the power thereof. And they were not entering. They were not repenting of disbelief in the spirit and the power that Paul was preaching. They were hoping it would happen and not believing it was happening. You can hope for rain and not believe it because the forecast says it won't. Or you can call the rain in. Against all the people who are believing it won't rain because the forecast says it won't. And that's why the world we live in today, especially North America and Europe, is anxious to get people to believe a certain thing. And then they prove that that thing is true by going out and taking a survey that so and so many people, 3 out of 5 people, believe this. And therefore that is right. So it's funny, the world says what you believe is right. And then the world says you can change what you believe in 10 seconds. And we're going to try and manipulate you to change what you believe. There is no eternal foundation. And there's no proper believing. That's not a characteristic of kingdom. That's not a characteristic of victory. And yet there are those in the church actually preaching against the very things they're instructed to believe and continue and hold as truth. And instead, the world looks to be world-friendly. We look to be seeker-friendly. Seeker-friendly is an interesting concept. It's where you water down what you are to be friendly to those who aren't. You're supposed to be seeker-welcoming. But you're supposed to be friendly with the kingdom. In Acts, they were afraid to join because they were different. Not because they were like them. And there was a standard and a spirit and a power that ran through that church. That church was not going to be stopped by persecution. It was going to grow. It was going to keep growing. It was growing by the thousands. What did Peter preach his first sermon when he had 120 guys around? And 3,000 were added that day. Today there are more Christians on the face of the earth than the last 2,000 years combined. Which part of the church is growing? The fastest growing part, the fastest growing denomination or structure in the church today is the Pentecostal. The ones who will acknowledge the power and the Spirit. The world and the media and a lot of the establishment are observing with glee or bemoaning the collapse of the traditional denominations, which are busy trying to prop up their membership by becoming the world. One United Church minister, sweet lady, I'm sure, was suing the United Church last year. Not here, not in God's country, but in Ontario. And she was suing them because the board had fired her because she openly said she did not believe in God and she was the minister of the church. And she said, why should I have to believe in God? I show up on time, I do a nice job, I visit the sick. Why should I have to believe in God to be a minister of the gospel? And she was taking it to court to get the court to agree with her. Dumb and dumber. Find ways to approach the kingdom. You repent to get to a kingdom status on this earth. Because we receive a kingdom that cannot be shaken. What he was saying in Luke 13 is if you don't find kingdom, you can go down just like everybody else. You're no worse than anybody else. You're just Luke 6:46 again. Those who are in the kingdom and those who are just born again. Why you call me Lord, Lord, and don't do what I say? I'll show you what it's like. If you're getting tired of going down in the next storm, if you dread the next storm, if you have fear of the next storm, you may not be in the kingdom properly. You're certainly not established. Remember Deuteronomy 28? You will be established when you're the head and not the tail, and you're over and not under, and your kneading basket and your bowl are always full, and your flocks multiply, and your family multiplies, and everything you touch multiplies. And you're the lender and not the borrower. That's getting established in the kingdom. The kingdom was not designed for a few. It was designed for the corporate, for everybody, for the mature church. It was designed so that no one in that church would falter or fail. And when they started to move into the new land and they came up against other kingdoms, God had an interesting instruction. Totally wipe out the other kingdom. So that doesn't influence you and make you a seeker kingdom. It doesn't influence you to want to be like them to win favor. But allow anybody to join you. Let the distressed and the in debt and the discontented come and let them join you. Let the orphan and the widow and the alien come. Take them in. But you take them in. You don't go out. I lead you out and in. You find pasture and you win. In fact, they would destroy other armies without a single loss. That was what the kingdom was about. None were to perish. None were to perish in the kingdom. The ones who had no skill and ability to walk on their own were not to perish. They were to be mighty warriors. The first army David had was the 400. Everyone who was trained in archery, trained in the use of the sword, trained in armor and in battle. They weren't trained in anything. They were the distressed, the in debt, and the discontented. That's what he had. They didn't know anything, and they were rejected by their own society. What was the pseudo-kingdom? What everybody else thought was still the kingdom, and the kingdom had no clothes. It was already gone. It was already in the cave. And these guys knew enough of the Spirit. They knew enough of the anointing. They went after the kingdom. Why? Because the world had no salvation for them. Not because they were skilled and elite. The skilled and elite were eating at the king's table, except he wasn't the king anymore. Your objective is to get to the kingdom, not to get back to somebody's fancy table and pretend you're in the kingdom. You know, the first church of Ichabod. You know what Ichabod means? The glory has departed. That's what Ichabod means. That was Saul's court. He had lost it. And people were still chasing it. Because it had the programs and the flavors and the music or whatever they liked. But the Spirit had departed. You go find the kingdom, because the kingdom isn't going down. You don't stay in that Ichabod denomination because you were brought up there and you liked it and the people are so sweet. Those people who are so sweet, and they are sweet, I can tell you that. I've been there. I know that. They're so sweet. But they're all likewise perishing. Now, our job is to proclaim the kingdom. You start with born again so they can see it. You finish from born again to salvation. And from salvation, you go to the Spirit so that there could be some recognition of the Spirit and power. But you always have the Spirit and power. Always. And you know Christ and Him crucified. And don't try to be fancy. Don't try to be fancy. Don't wring your hands and tell them what a terrible thing is that people who are trying to become Christians are still mired in drinking and smoking and doping and playing cards on Saturday. Can you imagine? Because people's sin is very simple, Jesus said in John. Their sin is they don't believe. Why are you asking them to believe in something they can't see and they can't get into? Forget about the kingdom. They can't see it. They can't get into it until they're born again. They've got to get an awareness that there's a spiritual dimension in life that they haven't been walking in. They need to repent. Repent of what? The carnal dimension, the temporal dimension, the worldly dimension that is leaving them dissatisfied for whatever reason. They might not be dissatisfied for their drinking. That might be the only joy they have. Read Ecclesiastes. Read Deuteronomy 14. It was one of the permitted things in the tithe. Buy yourself some strong drink and take it down to my temple and enjoy. Rejoice before me. No, they got to get the Spirit first. Then the Spirit will lead them away from the flesh. It will get them out of the me-me's. You don't go back and feed the me-me's. You feed that monster, it'll kill you. He who seeks to save his life will lose it. And if you ever find yourself crying over your life, you're on the path to losing it. But if you say, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. How many had a good day today? Oh, I had a mediocre day. I had a lot of things go wrong. My tires are, grinding, and my brake pads are no good, and couldn't get anybody to help me. They all deserted me in my hour of need. And poor me, I was looking for worms to eat. And it rained every time I tried to do something. I was soaked all day going in and out trying to find things and get things done. People were calling and complaining. What does that matter? Is that important? I could have said, like the Buffalo Sabres traded for... Do they play hockey or football? They traded for a left winger that couldn't get, couldn't catch a pass. Anyway, it's irrelevant. This is the day the Lord has made. My job is to increase the level of influence I have in it for the kingdom. My job in this day is to seek first the kingdom, and then I relax and know that all the things that everybody else is worried about and yelling at me about are following and adding to me. And I can stop fussing. Isn't that nice? Isn't that nice? We're going to Luke 18. We're going to finish over in there. But we've got to start to seek kingdom, not a blessed day. I'll believe in Jesus as soon as he heals me. I've had people tell me that. You show me that he heals me, and then I'll believe in him. Now, sometimes God does that, actually. But I'll tell you something, the world does not dictate to the kingdom. If God tells you to do it, you can do it. But the world is to come begging to the kingdom. Or the way they put it in the Old Covenant, they would come and say, and catch a hold of your garment and say, please tell me, who is your God? Because you were so, Deuteronomy 28, 1 to 14, that everybody desired it. They're not desiring the kingdom because you're long-suffering and such a saintly character. They're desiring the kingdom because it is obvious that it can't be shaken, and it only grows, and it moves from blessing to blessing to glory to glory, and it has to be the way out. He may be living in a cave, but I want him as my captain, because when the Philistines show up, he cuts them down. And the first thing he asked them to do when they showed up is go and fight the Philistines. And they said, oh, we can't do that. We're totally inadequate. We are the cast off and the run out of town in our own country. And he said, we're going. They went. They won. They joined the kingdom. And the kingdom received them. There's no one coming through those doors that isn't a king if they want to be. That isn't a priest if they want to be. That doesn't have a place in the body if they want it. Now, he was telling them a parable in Luke 18 to show that at all times they ought to pray and not to lose heart. The Spirit is the foundation of your operation in the kingdom. It is the foundation of what you can achieve. At all times they ought to pray and not to lose heart. What did Jesus always say to his guys? Let not your heart be troubled, neither be afraid. if you can control that. He's walking across the sea, and they're all afraid. He says, fear not, it is I. Jairus is told by the crowd, and they're his friends. The crowd are his friends. He's a synagogue official. They're his congregation. Saying she's dead. Don't bother anymore. And Jesus took him and said, fear not, only believe. There's a discipline in the spirit. You ought to never lose heart. Didn't rain for 7 days. On some, still hasn't rained very much. It's going to rain. But I'll tell you something. You'll have a crop if it never rained at all. So, ever read that book, Faith Like Potatoes? Did you read that book? You ever hear about it? What's the guy in Africa? So, you know, we got people who are getting lazier and lazier here. There's a guy in Africa. Correct me where I go wrong, because I haven't read the book or seen the movie. But there's a guy in Africa. He was a minister. And the Lord's telling him how to look after this group, okay? And he was subsistence farming at the same time. Sort of like he was from, you know, Clandeboy instead of Springfield. You know. Anyway, he's farming. And they're having a drought. He says, Lord, what do I do? And the Lord said, plant potatoes. So he went out and he planted, I don't know, 40 acres? What was it? Planted a lot of potatoes. And they said, well, you're kind of stupid. He says, no, I'm not stupid. I got a crop of potatoes. And it didn't rain. And it didn't rain. And it didn't rain. And so the potatoes never came up. Maybe a little scrag here and there, but there's no potatoes there. Not even weeds. And every day he'd go out and say, thank God, I got such a good crop of potatoes. And it continued on till the end of the season. Well, that's when you go into the kingdom, the bank's always calling, right? Now, and they're saying, you know, like, yeah, how do you pay your loan for your potatoes? And he just kept going. And then finally, one day he gets up and says, Lord, thank you for that good crop of potatoes. And the Lord says, it's time to harvest. He looks out and it's just a patch of mud. There's not a plant there. And he says, okay, Lord. And went and called a few friends, I think, and they went out and started digging. And there was just potatoes everywhere. They just kept digging potatoes. They didn't have to deal with any of the top. There was potatoes. Now, he was telling them a parable to show that at all times they ought to pray. You don't pray in unbelief. Did you know that? This is the guy. You know who's saying this? You know, it's red in my Bible. I don't know whether you got a fancy Bible or not. But it's red in my Bible. Mark 11:24. Therefore I say to you, all things for which you pray and ask, believe that you have received them, and they will be. It actually says they will be you. Translators add, granted to you. At all times they ought to pray, oh Lord, please turn this situation around. It hasn't happened yet. Oh Lord, please help. I still need help. Oh, Lord, please heal me. I'm still sick. At all times they ought to pray and not to lose heart. What does the heart do? Romans 10:10. For with the heart man believes and is justified. And with the mouth he prays and confesses unto. At all times you ought to pray, believing you have received, and not lose believing the heart. Saying, in a certain city there was a judge who did not fear God and did not respect man. And there was a widow in that city, and she kept coming to him saying, give me legal protection from my opponent. For a while he was unwilling. But afterward he said to himself, even though I do not fear God, nor respect man, yet because this widow bothers me, I'll give her legal protection. Otherwise, by continually coming, she will wear me out. What do you mean? Continually coming, she will wear me out. What he means is you ought always to pray and not stop believing. You ought always to pray and not lose heart. You keep speaking to the Father and to your own spirit, and you keep saying, I'm going to win. This is going to yield. I'm not quitting. Do you ever remember Elijah? How many of you met Elijah? He's as much alive as you are. You haven't come across him yet. Which is too bad. Maybe later. But Elijah just kept praying. We're talking about rain. Remember last week we talked about Elijah and the rain? How many of you were here last week? We had more than seven. Now, he just kept going back and never lost heart. He kept praying. You think he was praying in unbelief? Because this widow bothers me, I'll give her legal protection. Otherwise, by continually coming, she will triumph. She will wear me out. She will dominate that weather pattern. She will cause something to bear and sprout on the face of the earth. Because her word goes out and does not come back to her void, but it accomplishes what it is designed to do. And the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge said. Now will not God bring about justice for his elect who cry to him day and night? And will he delay long over them? I tell you that he will bring about justice for them quickly. Well, I don't believe it's quick, because I've been praying about something for 5 years. The day you worship your experience over the scripture is the day you start to die. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? At all times they ought to pray and not lose heart. You don't pray in hope. You don't pray in want. You don't pray in need. You pray in faith. All things for which you pray and ask, believe you have received them. And then you start to operate in the kingdom. And you repent. What are you repenting of? The way you used to walk, however you walked. In the ways of the world, that's what Paul says. You repent of that. Or as Isaiah put it, your ways are not my ways, your thinking isn't my thinking. You need to get to my thinking and my ways. For as the rain comes down and waters the earth, And it doesn't come without causing. Without causing it to bear and sprout. That wasn't your way. You didn't think what you were saying was causing something. You weren't in belief. You were in unbelief. But as the rain comes down and waters the earth and does not ascend again without causing it to bear and sprout, so shall my word be. That's all she was saying. I'm coming back to get protection from my enemy. Oh, what are you doing tomorrow? I'm coming back to get, not to ask for, to get protection from my enemy. And the guy says, I don't care. I have no respect for law or God or man. But boy, what she keeps saying is going to wear me out. It's going to cause something to happen. You either get in line with the word or perish before the word when you're dealing with proper kingdom. Hear what that guy said. I may not respect God or anything else, but I'm smart enough to know when something is bigger than me, I'm going to look after her. Well, God looks after you better when you go to him and not to some unjust judge. Do you believe it? Do you believe it comes quickly? Is your clock like God's clock? Or are you still a non-speaking one? A baby, crying for milk. Give me something that makes me feel good. Don't give me the kingdom and the reality, because I can't operate there yet. I'm still fussing over me. When we get past that and we say, God, I want to fuss over you. I want to seek first what you're interested in. The day you get there in your heart, everything you wanted starts coming to you. To be added to you. To pursue you and overtake you. If you can believe it. If you can repent of that old way of thinking and that old way of doing. I'm going home, I got to look at my rain gauge. Wenzel doesn't even have a rain gauge. We're going to take up a collection. Get him a rain gauge. We got to get him a concrete chisel so he can put it out in his parking lot. But